This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You have found it once again. We are live. It is Friday, and this is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the seventh day of November. I am very happy to be here, and I'm very happy that it is Friday. I hope all of you are out there gearing up for a wonderful weekend. I must admit that when I woke up this morning, I was very excited because it was crystalline blue skies outside, just absolutely beautiful. At about 6:30 when I got up to start going over news today. But wouldn't you know it, not very long after that, the clouds started rolling in. And by clouds, I mean planes. And by planes, I mean spraying planes. And we are under grid right now, ladies and gentlemen, here in the middle of Missouri. The lines are going up. The spraying is going down. I'm sure if you tuned into the broadcast yesterday, you heard us speaking with Dane Wigington about this international geoengineering program that's going on, and apparently we didn't win the fight yesterday, so it's still continuing this morning. Don't even know what to say about that, but here we are once again being sprayed. Good times in Missouri. Again, my name's JD. We do this live every day, Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock until noon, with the goal being to bring to you in the first hour all of the pertinent news of the day, the things that you may not see in the mainstream news, and then we also make a big effort at connecting some of the dots, trying to see what the agenda is and see if there are hints in the bones, so to speak, with what they are telling us. And in the second hour, we do our best to have the most informative guests that we can possibly have on the planet, and today, ladies and gentlemen, will be no exception. This will be a high watermark for Red Pill Reports. I can absolutely guarantee that. We are going to be speaking with, in the 11 o'clock hour, V, the Gorilla Economist. Now, if you guys, like me, are completely bewildered by what is happening in the economy right now, this is going to be a show you do not want to miss. This gentleman has got inside sources, has got knowledge about things. Every time I speak to him, I feel like my head is going to explode because there's almost no words to discuss the quality of the information and the uniqueness of the information that V is going to be bringing to the show today. So I do want everyone to gather around the soft glow of your computer screen at the 11 o'clock hour. You can stick with us until then. That would be even better. As I said earlier, we go over the news every single day, and Rob has done an awesome job of getting the news up on the site at redpillreports.com under the show heading. So you can go there every single day, find out what the show is going to be about, and to start to look at some of the headlines that we are going to be discussing, and we'd love it if you followed along with us. I want to give a phone number for people out there that have unlimited minutes on their cell phones. If you want to listen to the show while we are live, you can dial in to area code 213. I'm sorry, that's not the correct number. Area code 832-225-5308. Again, that is 832-225-5308, and that will give you a prompt. You're able to just set your own phone down there and listen away, and it won't cost you any of your internet data connection minutes, as it were. So that's something you can do. Also, you can go to Truth Frequency, which is truthfrequencyradio.com. I guess I need to clarify something the other day. I mentioned the fact that Truth Frequency Radio was listener supported, And there is a donate button on the page. And I had made a plea to everyone to go ahead, and if you got a dollar or two to spare, I'm sure every single host, as well as the as well as Chris at the network, would really appreciate the support. But when I had asked for that support, I had kind of mentioned that there was potential that we could somehow turn Truth Frequency Radio into the number one alternative news and information source on the planet. But it turns out I was mistaken, guys. We're not able to turn this into the number one alternative news network in the world, because the simple fact is it already is the number one alternative information source on the planet. So my new request then, kids, and again, I'm sure every other host on the network will appreciate it, please make a donation to help us stay at the top of the pile and help continue to work with Chris and grow this network into who only knows what. It's going to be just the. This is honestly the support that I've gotten from the other hosts at the network has just been nothing but humbling and absolutely wonderful. So my thanks go out to Chris as usual, and to all the Truth Frequency Radio kids. Again, try and do what you can to support the network, keep us on the top of the heap. And we will do our best to continue to bring you the best information and guests that we possibly can. Which brings us to today's news. There is a lot going on, ladies and gentlemen. I was up very late last night trying to stay on top of everything that's going on in the international circuit. And there are just almost too many things to even discuss right now. First one, probably the most significant, is that after all of these feathers were ruffled, during the election this last week, the president has come out with new fervor, trying to get all of the agendas that he was trying to get accomplished with the help of Congress. Now he's going to be moving forward without their help, and is probably going to push us into a fairly dangerous situation. but according to the New York Times today, President Obama has said yesterday that he is going to seek specific authorization from Congress for the military campaign against the Islamic State, which is going to open the door to potentially a lengthy, conscientious debate over the nature and extent of American engagement in Iraq and Syria. So Mr. Obama's announcement at his post-election news conference was not really unexpected, but it does represent a fairly significant shift from his earlier position that while he would welcome congressional backing in an agenda, you know, going against ISIS, he thought at initially, and his stance has always been that he has the legal authority to make military action just by existing statutes, just with everything that's already on the books. He says he doesn't need congressional assistance. But now he's saying he's going to go and seek it. We'll see what happens with that. So, that's what's going on there. Probably going to be blowing up into more interaction with ISIS, but hopefully at least somebody in Congress will try and put a stop to all of this. I'm hopeful. Syria was the victim of another bomb attack led by the United States yesterday, and the United States killed a top bomb maker for the Khorasan terrorist group. So an American drone strike killed a top bomb maker for the Khorasan terrorist group in Syria, according to U.S. officials and according to a NSNBC news report today. The military said it struck because Khorasan was plotting an attack in Europe or the homeland, and the strike was carried out by a Hellfire missile, killed David Drugin, who is a 24-year-old French national who is considered a high-value target, and at least one other Khorasan member was believed to have been killed, and the officials denied reports that the strike was targeting the al-Nusra Front, which is a militant group that has ties to Al-Qaeda. So again, there are more terrorist groups than we even know how to name them anymore, and we're knee-deep in this war against IS in Syria with no help from the Syrian government at all, actually against the will of the Syrian government. We're still doing that. And then yet at the same time, we seem to find the time to go and drop bombs on French nationals, which to me seems a little bit unusual. I didn't realize that we could go and kill foreigners like that from another country, not even, working. I don't know. There's just too much conjecture going on with this particular article to really know what's going on. And that's kind of the situation with everything that's going on in the world right now, is that they are trying to keep us completely inundated with ridiculousness so that you don't know what to do and don't know how to think. But there are still bombs being dropped in Syria at the behest of the United States and against the will of the Syrian people. So we will keep an eye on that. Giant austerity marches happening in Brussels this week. I mean, 100,000 plus people in Brussels right now, and we're talking about violent clashes as protesters marched in Brussels against the government's new austerity measures. Police were deploying water cannons as dock workers, metal workers, and students took to the streets. The violence flared up at the end of an otherwise peaceful protest with tear gas deployed at some radical demonstrators who were hurling objects at the riot police and launched attacks against they launched attacks with barriers against some of the officials, and some set off colored smoke bombs. This is a tinderbox right now because the Belgian government just assumed power about a month ago and has caused a lot of unrest with promises to raise the retirement age, cancel a wage raise in line with inflation, and to cut health and social security benefits, which obviously undermines the entire country's welfare system. And so again, you know, around the world, we are seeing eruptions of people who are standing out and stepping up against austerity. And I cannot be more proud of the people of Belgium today. The plan right now is that there are more weeks of protesting scheduled, and they are actually scheduling regional strikes from November 24th every week. Beginning November 24th, and a national strike is now being set for December 15th. So again, the people have the power. They will shut this economy down. They will shut down Brussels, and I hope that they don't get hurt too badly by the police, but I fully stand by them as they are moving through this tumultuous period in their history. We've got some information coming from Ukraine right now, and of course, everything coming out of Ukraine we need to take with a grain of salt, because we're either hearing from the Kiev side, which is obviously, you know, a junta that was put in by the United States and has got strong ties to NATO. So we obviously know that the party line coming from the Kiev military is going to be substantially NATO-based and substantially U.S.-based. But according to the Kiev military, a tank column has crossed from Russia into the Ukraine. A column of 32 tanks, 16 howitzer artillery systems, and trucks carrying ammunition and fighters has crossed into eastern Ukraine from Russia, according to the Kiev military. This deployment continues of military equipment and Russian mercenaries to the front line, according to the spokesman from the Kiev military. And the report of new Russian movement of armor across the border follows a charge on Thursday by pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine that the Kiev government forces had launched a new offensive against them, which obviously, of course, Kiev immediately denied. So again, we see this situation where it's he said and she said, you know, it's Kiev, United States, and NATO against Putin. You know, one of the things that I wanted to mention while I was reading this article that kind of dawned on me, you know, we're all at Red Pill Reports very aware that we have a rogue government system. We have a government that, you know, effectively acts through the media and tries to make people believe that they have some semblance of legitimacy. But at the end of the day, most of the players involved, we don't know their names. Most of the organizations involved, we're unaware of. And most of the agendas that they're trying to get through, again, are off the radar. So one thing that had occurred to me was that I wondered if perhaps Russia has the same problems. Perhaps some of this situation that we're seeing in eastern Ukraine is being led by people in the Putin administration or rogue elements of the Russian, you know, military system, because I would be hastening to guess that they have a military-industrial complex also. And I wonder if Putin might be up against the wall, or if Putin, again, is a figurehead, just like Obama has no real power, is just somebody that they put on TV and they got lucky in Russia because, you know, he's actually eloquent and can answer a question without a teleprompter, which is something that we obviously don't have here in our country. But that's just something that I wonder, you know, how much of this is truth, how much of this is complete made-up nonsense. And again, also, I think that it's important to recognize that when you're examining the truth of a situation, you're presented with an entire spectrum, you know, from one end of the scale all the way up to the other. And I think as I get older, the more I study things, the more I find that the truth lies someplace in the middle. Now, what that means for this Kiev and Russia situation, I don't really know. I think that we're going to have Rick Rozoff on in the next couple of weeks. He is a NATO guru and has done nothing but research this Ukraine-Russia situation right now. So we will have some fantastic insight coming up for you in the next few weeks. But as of right now, that apparently is the situation that's going on there. So we'll move on to something else right now. Spain, Spanish police arrested 10 people just yesterday in Madrid, accused of glorifying terrorism and inciting attacks by the Basque group ETA in Twitter and Facebook messages. So these suspects are accused of using social networks to commit suspected crimes of glorifying terrorism by the ETA and of humiliating the victims of terrorism, according to the Interior Minister of Spain. So more arrests happening there, more tiny, tiny pockets of alleged terrorism popping up around the world, and they seem to be tied into these social networking sites. So again, if you're going to go on Facebook, don't post things about promoting terrorism right now, especially if you're in a country where they will come arrest you, and Spain apparently is on that list now. So that's what I know about that. Pentagon has got a new report out right now, and they are very concerned about losing technological superiority to China. During the first Gulf War in 1990s, the U.S. military used a new generation of technological weapons that frankly left the rest of the world pretty far behind and speechless, to say the least. But according to Frank Kendall, who is the Pentagon's Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisitions, Technology, and Logistics, that advantage is rapidly evaporating. Now, speaking at a breakfast in the Navy League in Arlington, Virginia on Wednesday, Kendall said the deterioration has continued during his 4.5 years on the job, in part because of the budget situation and also part because of the sequestration. So right now, Kendall says he's not really that concerned about going to war with China, but he does indicate that no one has studied our technological capability more than China. And the concern is that as we kind of back ourselves into these corners where we're more and more dependent upon very technological type of weapons, we limit ourselves. We kind of limit ourselves to maybe having 10 of the top, 100 things that we could use. We're going to focus on the 10 most technological. Well, Japan has been working to analyze those very specific technological advancements that we have or advantages that we have and trying to mitigate them. And the concern necessarily isn't that China is going to mitigate them directly, but they could sell mitigation techniques to some of our other enemies overseas. There's also been a lot of reports recently in the last 2 years of United States and the DOD acquiring military components like microchips and things like that to go into our weapons that were made in China that have turned out to be fake, I guess would be the right word for it. Not functional, fake, things that won't work. And I also wonder if China somehow has the capability of, putting hardware into our systems or supplying us with hardware that somebody might be able to then hack into and then take control of whatever the weapon is that we built with their components. So just another little bit of food for thought there. We are concerned about China. I think that a lot of my good friends are concerned about China generally also, so we'll keep an eye on that. My good friend Jeff sent me the best story of the day regarding international news, and I had to include this morning. The world's poorest president gets a $1 million offer for his old Volkswagen Beetle. And this is a story coming out of Uruguay, who his president, his name is Jose Mejica, and he apparently, according to an Arab sheik, is in dire need of cash. Now, the president, Jose, doesn't think that he's in dire need of cash at all. He's doing just fine. And one of the reasons I wanted to include this article today was because of this president's standpoint on reality. It's so refreshing. This gentleman, Jose Mojica, is as good a civil servant as you could possibly be. So anyway, the sheik offered this guy $1 million for his 87 Volkswagen, which is apparently the only piece of actual hardware or, property that this gentleman still owns, because he's given all of his life to being a civil servant. He just became the president a few months ago. He obviously turned the drug laws in that country around and has made a lot of difference. But the offer for $1 million for the Volkswagen is kind of starting to stick with him a little bit. He's thinking about selling it, and he obviously says if it does materialize, he's going to donate the entire proceeds to a housing support program for the homeless, which I love. They've also offered him 10 four-wheel drive vehicles, and he said if he does get those trucks, he's going to donate those to the country's public health system. And just as an aside, if anybody out there ever offers you $1 million for an 87 Volkswagen, you say yes. That's the answer. Not even a yes, I will change the oil and I will fill up the tank for you. Thank you very much. Because honestly, an 87 Volkswagen is just not worth $1 million to anybody. But I hope this gentleman takes him up on that. I hope he does some more good for his country. I like to see stuff like that. And I appreciate Jeff sending me that article this morning. Let's move on to some national news right now, because there are again, after the ruffling of feathers and the election, there are a lot of things going on. There was some conjecture the other day, and I think I mentioned it, that the AP has hatched a deal with hospitals and with the CDC to not report on any suspected cases of Ebola. But Paul Joseph Watson over at InfoWars did a fantastic article which really flushes out the details of that and does substantiate that claim very specifically. So I would recommend everybody go to the news report today at redpillreports.com. Check out the show section and you can find this article that does corroborate the fact that the AP has intentionally kept suspected cases of Ebola out of the news. And we had also mentioned the fact that there was potential that the rate of infection or the stories about Ebola infection may shoot up through the roof after the election day. And we did find that that was the case, unfortunately, in the city, in the state of New York, as people who were being monitored, those numbers tripled yesterday. As of more national news right now, House Speaker John Boehner has said the president will poison chances for cooperating with Congress if he continues to claim powers to grant illegal status to illegal immigrants. He goes on to say that Barack Obama is going to burn himself if he continues to go down this path. Newly elected to his House seat and likely to be returned at Speaker in the next Congress, Mr. Boehner said that he would like to tackle immigration in Congress, but wouldn't commit to holding a vote, saying he wants to talk to his fellow House Republicans first. He did, however, say that the House will vote to repeal Obamacare and will also likely pass a bunch of bills to carve out some of the most contentious parts, such as attacks on medical devices or the individual mandate. So we are going to be moving forward on that. Mitch McConnell has come out and said remarkably about the same thing, saying that he is going to make Obamacare a priority his first week as leader of the Senate, vowing a sustained effort to dismantle the law piece by piece. He has not discounted the option of completely repealing the law, but he does feel as if dismantling it piece by piece will be more effective and will happen quicker. So Mitch McConnell, again, you know, this is one of these situations where Team A versus Team B, and it's mostly nonsense, and we all know that. But it is still nice to see at least some of these guys trying to do something that well, at least I appreciate. I guess that's about as far as I can take that. But I do appreciate them doing something in that respect. The government's free phone program apparently is riddled with abuse and fraud. And this is a story coming out of Denver's CBS4. Federally regulated program providing free cell phone service and phones to the poor and needy in Denver appears to be riddled with waste, fraud, and abuse, according to an undercover CBS4 investigation. The $2 billion a year Lifeline program has handed out more than 13 million free cell phone plans across the country in the first 6 months of this year. In Colorado, the program handed out more than 117,000 free cell phone plans in the first half of this year alone, which comes out to about 20,000 cell phones a month. Now, these free cell phones and their wireless plans are paid for by a monthly tax on your cell phone called the Universal Service Tax. And although the Lifeline wireless program has been around since 2005 and started under George Bush, it has exploded under President Barack Obama. And the phones are now commonly referred to as Obama phones. And although this program has strict guidelines in its inception, in order to qualify, you have to be on food stamps, Medicaid, housing assistance, or some other government program that proves that you are low income. The idea is that people who do not or could not otherwise afford mobile phones would be able to have them to look for jobs, call 911 in an emergency, and stay in contact with family members and friend members. But this investigative journalist team found that on multiple trips to Colfax Avenue and Broadway in Denver, multiple distributors had set up their tents to hand out free cell phones. And the CBS reporter and his cameraman were both offered free cell phones and were given free cell phones by as a representative from the cell phone company was using other people's food stamp cards to get the verification to go through. Now, these guys who are moving these phones get on average about $3 a phone, so they're going to do anything they can to get a phone in your hand, but that is obviously and very clearly, in violation of what the setup was supposed to be regarding this system. So, with every system, we see fraud, we see abuse, and we see money changing hands, and there we are again with that and the new phone, Obama phone program. Not a great deal. Let's talk about a very unique situation, which you almost never hear about. Two police officers were indicted for hitting an unarmed teen in the face with a gun this week. A pair of NYPD officers who chased down a teen and then hit him in the face with a gun, even after he had stopped and raised his hands, have been indicted by a grand jury and will be arraigned this week in the Brooklyn Supreme Court. And this is fantastic. I love to see, well, I mean, I don't like seeing police officers abusing people. We have way too many stories about that happening all the time. But I do like to see some accountability. Now, these two cops turned themselves in after realizing that they were caught on surveillance video. One of them punched the gentleman, who was only 16 years old, in the face after he stopped, and then the other man hit him in the face with his gun, which is obviously, if the guy's already got his hands up, completely inappropriate, and I hope they lose their jobs, to say the least. This is another reason I think we need to have a national police offender registry, just like a sex offender registry. We need a place to put these people on a list to incorporate shame so that they understand that they're not ever going to have another job again in law enforcement. And I think that's something that we could do today. We could get that method going, and anybody who is named in a settlement of a lawsuit for violence, anybody who is involved with a use of force against a victim, immediately should be put on this list and never allowed in law enforcement again. And remember the 90-year-old who was arrested the other day for feeding the homeless? Well, he was cited again on Wednesday. He decided, you know what, I'm not really going to toe the party line, and you guys can arrest me as many times as you want. I'm going to keep going out and doing this over and over. And that's what he has done, and he's been arrested once again. They decided to give him a ticket on the spot instead of whisking him off to jail because the crowd support was. Be back in 3 minutes, guys. Keep it here. This is your Red Pill Reports broadcast.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at ActiveUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Squared Radio with Brooks Active.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the 7th day of November, and we are live, just like we are every day, Monday through Friday, from 10 until noon Central Standard Time. You can go and find us at Truth Frequency Radio. There are apps for your phones that you can listen live. You have a number that you can call in, 832-225-5308, if you would like to listen over your phone. We definitely appreciate all of you tuning in every day. I cannot thank you enough. I'm very happy that it is Friday. I'm hoping the world does not fall apart over the weekend, so we have plenty of things to discuss on Monday. I want to also mention again that our guest in the next half an hour, at 11 o'clock, will be V, the Gorilla Economist. You're going to learn more about the shadow economy than you could possibly shake a stick at, and I'm hoping this will be the first in many appearances on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast from Mr. V, and looking forward to that very much. I wanted to get back into the national news really quickly and just say one final thing about the 90-year-old gentleman who is sticking it to the man by feeding the homeless. Kudos to you, sir. We talked the other day about carrying food in your car. I think that the more that the powers that shouldn't be create these rules about how to interact with one another, the more we should just ignore them. I think they are showing their hands. They're showing the fact that money is all that they care about, and that's just flies in the face of what we should all be thinking about in terms of taking care of one another. Do you know that there are more vacant houses in the United States than there are homeless people? How many times can you buy and sell the same house? I mean, honestly, it's criminal. It's criminal what we're doing, and it's criminal what these people in Fort Lauderdale are doing to this poor 90-year-old man. And I know that the first story went viral, which is why he had so much support this time. And I'm hoping that this story will also go viral. Let's keep that support flowing for him, because I think that, again, people standing up and doing the right thing is something that we should all be supporting. Speaking of doing the right thing, from another national story over at the Daily Beast, this one warms my heart, to say the least. There is a judge in California who is examining the legality of America's marijuana laws, and she may be on the verge of throwing the entire system into chaos. Now, three states, one district, and two cities voted this last week on various aspects of the nation's drug laws, but the most crucial marijuana decision being weighed in the coming days will be made by just one person. And we're talking about U.S. District Judge Kimberly Mueller, and she is about, in my opinion, to start a legal revolution. After a five-day hearing in California, she is actually considering the validity of the science surrounding pot's classification as one of the most dangerous drugs in the world. And in May, she became the first judge in decades to agree to even hear evidence relating to the DEA's classification of marijuana, which puts it in the same category as heroin and meth. And over the next few weeks, she is going to be combing through hundreds of pages of witness testimony, scientific research, and public health policy to determine whether or not the Schedule I substance classification of marijuana is valid and whether or not it is unconstitutional, which obviously it is. If the government itself owns a patent for the medical value of cannabis, it seems very unusual that a organization in the government would then say that it has no medicinal value. And obviously, if anybody has studied cannabis history in our country, it is completely ridiculous. It is draconian, and it has nothing to do with keeping you safe or keeping your children safe. It has everything to do with funding big oil and trying to keep the companies that would lose a lot of money as hemp came into production in the green, so to speak. No pun intended, but that's what it's all about. And I'm hoping I hope every day that we can get rid of this stupid drug law, the minorities alone being subjected to, it's crazy because they selectively enforce these laws. And that's, I think, what comes down, why it comes down to a constitutional issue, is that selective enforcement is not okay. You can't have a state, two states away from mine where it's legal, and then decide to selectively enforce laws against myself or my brothers here. Totally unacceptable. So there's that going on, and we will keep you up to date on that. I'm sure many of you out there are following that issue closely, because it is so important. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to be speaking with V, the Gorilla Economist, in about 25 minutes, and that is going to be a rip-roaring conversation. Keep your head on a swivel and try not to let your head explode when we're talking to him. But let's get into some economic news, because there are a lot of things going on economically right now. First and foremost, the Dow is up about 8 points right now, still sitting at about 17,500, just a touch above that right now. And gold has made a huge move back up $20. It made a big jump, 1162, up almost 2% overnight. And silver, following suit, also up almost 2% to 1567. One of the main conversational points that I'm going to ask V today is when the laws of economics, supply and demand, decided that they didn't matter anymore. And I think that we'll all be interested in that answer. Crude oil, still sitting below $80, but it is up almost 2% it's right at about $79 right now. So I'm going to ask him quite a few questions about the oil market too, just to figure out what is going on there. Probably the most important story going on in the economy right now is the idea that this Forex settlement is going to be coming down the pike. Now, a lot of people may not be aware, but authorities from around the world have been investigating allegations that dealers at major banks have been colluding and manipulating key reference rates in the $5.3 trillion a day foreign currency market called the Forex market. And it's obviously the world's largest and least regulated market. But there are literally 1,000 articles in front of me right now talking about how these U.S. banks and banks from around the world are bolstering their reserves to try and get ready for some kind of penalty that is going to come down at the end of this Forex investigation. So we're going to be talking to V about that today too. We'll talk about the derivative market being a number that we could almost not get our heads around today. With him as well. There was a monster move in Bitcoin arena just yesterday. A Texas man was arrested for a $4.5 million Bitcoin Ponzi scheme. This is the first Bitcoin Ponzi scheme that we have heard of, and this was a doozy. I'm telling you right now, this Texas man has been arrested on wire fraud and securities fraud charges for his operations of what authorities allege was a Bitcoin-related Ponzi scheme that raised millions of dollars through a purported online digital hedge fund. This guy's name is Trendon Shavers, known in the Bitcoin forums as Pirate Eat 40. And he was arrested this morning on one count of securities fraud and one count of wire fraud. Each charge carries a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison, as well as criminal fines. And the Security Exchange Commission filed civil fraud charges against him July of last year, which recently culminated in a federal judge ordering Shavers to pay $40 million back in fines. So essentially what this gentleman did, he was soliciting investors to park their Bitcoins in a Bitcoin Savings and Trust, which was a digital hedge fund that promised to return weekly returns up to 7%. And when asked how he was able to achieve such lucrative returns, he told investors that he was involved in a Bitcoin arbitrage activity that included acting as a middleman for individuals who wished to purchase large quantities of BTC off the radar. When further asked about his profit margins, Shavers indicated that he achieved a gross returns for nearly 11% a week. As the operations progressed, the minimum investment amount was raised to 100 Bitcoin. Investors were then permitted to reinvest their profits. The scheme began to collapse when Shavers announced that his weekly interest rate would decrease to 3.9% beginning the 1st of August, and he allegedly began to make preferential payouts to friends and longtime investors and with his remaining funds. And then later that month, he declared default. In total, Shavers took in more than 700,000 bitcoins, which at one point constituted approximately 7% of all Bitcoin in public circulation. So, wow, what a very successful Ponzi scheme this man run, and now it has come to an end. What can you say about that? I did also include in the economic news. Again, if you guys go to redpillreports.com, you will see at the top a show link for today's show. And under that, Rob does a great job of getting all of these news links that are in there. And if you go to that and see these news links, it will be a first-hand experience for you guys to understand how badly I do at going through all of this stuff every day. So there's going to be plenty of things in there that are going to be new that I don't get an opportunity to cover, but a great place to go before the show and during the show to kind of keep an eye on how I'm doing. One of the articles that I did include also in the economic news today is a very, very good beginner's guide to Bitcoin mining, how Bitcoin mining works, how you can acquire Bitcoins, and a pretty good reason as to why you would not want to get involved. But if you have questions about Bitcoin fundamentals, there's a great article in the economic section today for which you can go and check that stuff out. And if you have any questions about Bitcoin, you can always email us at Red Pill. They'll forward them to me, and I'll do my best to answer some questions because I do know a little bit about Bitcoin. As another, not a good sign in terms of the economy right now, Walmart is eliminating health benefits for about 30,000 employees to control its rising health care costs. And this cut applies to part-time workers who work less than 30 hours a week, which is about 2% of the company's workforce. Walmart is saying that more of the employees signed up for health benefits than the company was expecting, and so that's why they are now removing health care benefits from 30,000 part-time employees. So happy days are here again. Walmart's obviously saying that it might actually be a good thing because some of these people who don't get paid that much should get subsidies from the government to get themselves involved with Obamacare. Of course, hopefully in the next few months we will see a complete gutting, if not removal of Obamacare, and then Walmart hopefully will have to do the next the right thing here, because obviously people who are underemployed are the people who are going to be victimized by the system the most. So that is what is going on in your economic news. There's plenty of other things to cover on the economic front, but I'm going to save those until V comes on. I would like to do something a little different right now. I'm going to jump over into some tech news. But I think since it's Friday and since we haven't done it yet and since I don't have any idea how or whether or not the system is going to work, we're going to open up the phone lines. I'd like to hear from you guys out there. If you're listening, please give a call to 866-378-7884. That number is also 866-37-TRUTH. The phone lines are open. I'd like to hear from anybody out there, questions, comments about the show, chatter that you might be hearing, things that are concerning you, articles that we haven't covered. Guest suggestions, you want to give me a recipe for raw cat food for Boulevard, anything like that, we would certainly like to take your calls just for the next 15 minutes or so before our guest arrives. I think that would be very cool. So if you are out there and you would like to reach out to us, we will be here and ready to take your phone call. Let's move on to some tech news, because there was a very substantial FBI raid that just happened this week. And we're talking about the Silk Road 2.0. We're going to be talking about the Silk Road also with V a little bit later in the program, but the Silk Road that he and I will be talking about will be the physical Silk Road that is being built as a trade route in Eastern Europe right now. This Silk Road that we're talking about, 2.0, is an internet site which essentially was an online drug marketplace. It follows in the footsteps of the original Silk Road that took place for a long time. This is obviously one of the reasons that Bitcoin was so popular and one of the reasons that the Tor, the Onion Router, was so popular, because by using the Onion Router, you can get into places called the Dark Web. The Dark Web would be a collection of sites, hundreds if not thousands of sites that all run, well, what the government would consider to be illegal operations. But the FBI has seized the marketplace Silk Road, and they have shut that program down, and they have arrested Blake Benthal, who is also known as DEFCON, who is the founder of Silk Road 2.0. He was arrested in San Francisco this morning, so that happened. What kind of effect is that going to have on Bitcoin? Who really knows? Not really sure. For a long time, the FBI was the number one holder of Bitcoin after some of the seizures that they made of the last Silk Road, essentially. This is some interesting tech news that has come out. A gentleman has now developed a bullet to go along with the 3D printed guns that people are making in their homes now. So the 3D printed guns obviously have been evolving over the last 18 months. from kind of the science fictional experiment. Now they're a subculture where you can actually buy machines, you can download CAD, engineering programs, and you can build yourself a gun in the safety of your own home. But Michael Crumling, who is a 25-year-old machinist from New York, has developed a round designed specifically to be fired from these 3D-printed guns. Now, his ammunition uses a thicker steel with a lead bullet inserted about an inch inside, which is deep enough that the shell itself can contain the explosion of the round's gunpowder instead of transferring all that force to the plastic body or the barrel of the gun. He says that his program now allows the home-printed firearm, being made from even the most cheapest materials, to be fired again and again without cracking or deforming. So this is another big step towards complete freedom in terms of firearm laws. And I think, I love seeing stuff like this because it stands to show that where there is a will, there is a way. And this gentleman has made another significant move in keeping all of us armed and off of the radar of the federal government, which I fully support. So thank you, Mr. 3D printed bullet maker. Nice job. Okay, how about a machine? Speaking of 3D printing, how about a machine that prints 3D meals, food? Yeah, you heard me right. This machine is called the Foodini, and it's not really that different from a regular 3D printer, except that it, instead of printing with plastics, it deploys edible ingredients squeezed out of stainless steel capsules. And it's the same technology as the 3D printers, but the only issue is that with plastics, there's only one melting point, and with the food, it's different temperatures and consistencies and textures, so it's a little bit more complex of a machine. But they cost about $1,000 and will help you make three-dimensional ravioli or whatever it is that you want to print to eat. It's just so crazy to me how far along we have come with technology. This is probably the epitome of laziness as far as I can tell, but here we are, brave new worlds, just like the Jetsons, guys. We'll be printing food, print it out, put it in the oven. There you go. Who knows? Let's talk a little bit about scanners for dreams. There is another interesting... Now, we talked yesterday about brain-to-brain transference happening at the University of Washington, where they took two people and paired them up across the internet. And one of them was able to control the body movements of another just by sending brain signals with their brain across the wires, which is, startling to say the least. But now, according to the Mail Online, we could start soon being able to record our dreams and then play them back to us after the fact. So if you've ever woken up from a vivid dream only to forget about what was going on in it, you might want one of these things called a dream recorder. And now we may be years away from something like this, but they are moving towards this right now. And there is in place a system where these people were able to wear a monitor on their head and watch a film. And the brain of the observer was actually able to control some of the editing, some of the music, some of the things that were going on in the film. Each person ended up seeing a different version of the film depending on how their brain was interpreting it. And the people who are going through this experimental process say it's exactly like lucid dreaming, where you are aware that you have a little bit of influence over the dream, but not as much as you would like. But very ethereal, very unusual stuff that science is moving towards right now. And with all of the science stories that we've had this week, it's very clear to see that we are moving down that technological road powered by the idea of convenience. And that's where we are now. So soon enough, we could possibly be able to play back a visual record of the dream that you had going forward, which is just... it's really remarkable to think about. Lockheed Martin has made a remarkable new admission in terms of nuclear fusion. One of the cliches of the nuclear power research industry is that commercial fusion reactor is only 30 years away and will always be. It seems like no matter what, all of these great technological leaps are always something to be thought of as in the future. But a team at Lockheed's renowned Skunk Works has now decided and have got a plan together for a active fusion reactor somehow coming online within the next decade. So clean energy for everyone coming out of Skunk Works, you know, kind of wonder about their motivation to do anything, really, given their history. But that is what's going on right now, and Lockheed Martin is going to make a big bet on a small nuclear fusion reactor, and hopefully we will be seeing that coming down the pipe as we go forward. That would be nice to see. Let's get on to some health news, because there are some startling health news articles right now. The first and foremost that I thought was just incredible was an admission by Edward Cox. Now, Edward Cox is the director of the FDA's Office of Antimicrobial Products, and he said Wednesday that some of the patients with Ebola are going to have to forego potentially life-saving treatments so researchers can see how they fare compared to those who receive the experimental drugs. So Cox is essentially saying that they are going to have to use placebos in some of these trials for Ebola, and he admits that that's going to be very challenging, but he thinks that that's going to be necessary to provide the best supportive care versus supportive care with a drug. So placebos coming down the pipe also in terms of these Ebola vaccinations, and you heard it straight from the FDA's Office of Antimicrobial Products Director Edward Cox. Not a good sign, and boy, how would you hate to be somebody who volunteered for, you know, a treatment schedule, or volunteered to take part in that experimental procedure, and then to find out you were given a placebo. Boy, I don't think I'd be very excited about that. But also in terms of Ebola, the last Dallas-related Ebola monitoring in Texas will be ending today. North Texas expects to be cleared of the Ebola virus as of today, leaving Dallas and the nation better prepared for future encounters with the highly contagious and often lethal disease. This report is coming out of the Star Telegram, and they confirmed that the last person being monitored in Dallas is expected to be cleared Friday, and 15 were released just today from twice-daily temperature checks. So, are we moving in the right direction on Ebola? I guess it kind of depends on who you talk to, because, you know, with the tripling of people being monitored in New York City, that seems to be a wash with this story here coming out of Dallas. I hope, and I'm sure all of you hope out there, that we are out of the woods in terms of Ebola. Situation in Africa seems to be improving, and of course all of our thoughts and prayers are going out to the people there and to the people here who might still be under investigation or monitoring. That's the word I want to use, under monitoring. We are obviously hoping and praying that they will all be okay. There is another report that I thought was very interesting coming out of the Natural News. After a scientific study of over 2,000 patients, they have concluded that life after death is a fact, that there are so much anecdotal as well as evidence coming out of published journals that suggest that when you die, your consciousness is infinite, and I found that to be just very heartening. I've been of that opinion for a long time, but more and more people are starting to come around to that idea that we are infinite souls trapped in a body, trying to do the best that we can on this crazy rock, traveling around the sun. But there is hope that at the end of the day, things will improve and be better in the long run. So I want to talk also a little bit about another story coming out of National News talking about vaccines. Now, this story refers to actor and comedian Rob Schneider, who is obviously the latest casualty in the war against free speech, as the fury of vaccine lovers everywhere prompted Schneider's recent firing from an advertising gig with insurance giant State Farm. There are countless people in Hollywood that say that there is so much pressure to toe the party line, so to speak, and Rob Schneider right now is, of course, one of the current victims. He did a fantastic tweet explosion about 2 weeks ago talking about autism, and he made a huge deal about the CDC's covering up of the autism results from their studies. And, you know, I'm hesitant to tell you guys out there my story about autism and vaccines, but I will share the fact that someone in my family is affected by autism, and I watched it go down. I watched the vaccine happen. I watched it destroy him, and there's nobody on the planet that could tell me that there's not a direct correlation between vaccinations, specifically the MMR stuff, and the development of autism in young people. I've seen it with my own eyes. I don't need to be a scientist. I can see what correlation looks like. And so I am one of these people that is vehemently anti-vaccination. I know a lot of you out there are the same way. But Rob Schneider is taking it for the team right now, so to speak, and is doing a good job in doing so. I asked Jeff to see if we could potentially get him on the show to talk about some of his experiences with this vaccine mafia that's targeting Hollywood right now. And I'm hopeful that in the next 3 or 4 weeks we can get him on and have that discussion with him, find out more about what is going on with that. I wanted to also bring your attention to a fantastic article that Dane Wigington put up yesterday. We had a discussion with him about geoengineering and about toxicity on the planet and things like that. His site is geoengineeringwatch.org and is one of the best places you can go to learn about what is going on in the realm of geoengineering. But Dane put up a fantastic article talking about fluoride and aluminum and how absolutely toxic these things are. And there are amazing indications that the aluminum that they're dumping into the atmosphere has, like Dane said yesterday, already cost American citizens their lives and livelihoods. And so this agenda of aerosol spraying is the most important issue because it is global. It is happening all the time. It's happening right now. As I look out the window, I'm seeing large trailing vapors going across the sky. But I do want everyone to go check out this article about how fluoride can affect your consciousness, how aluminum can do the same thing, and some of the actual medical journalism that substantiates all of those claims. He's done a great job in pulling things together, and we're excited to be working with Dane as of yesterday and going forward into the future. That is pretty much everything that I needed to try and cover today as far as the news. When we come back from this break, as I've mentioned in the past, we will be speaking with V, the Gorilla Economist. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, get out your notebooks. Get ready to take notes. He will be naming names. He will have your jaw on the floor. This is the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the 7th day of November. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Stick with us.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking iodine now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply.
Your future looks really great.
I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MFUSA.org.
You must unite what has been set us
up. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for sticking with us over those 3 minutes. It is straight up 11 o'clock central right now, and we are moving into the second hour of our broadcast for the Red Pill Reports radio show today. We are reaching out right now to V the Gorilla Economist. I haven't been able to make contact with him yet, but I am going to move forward thinking that we will be making contact here in just a few seconds. And to let you guys know who V is considered a gorilla economist. Now, he has worked for some of the top community trading firms and investment banks. He's also contributed to the private think tanks that help create investment policy. His track record is absolutely uncanny and well documented in his appearances with Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman. V predicted with pinpoint accuracy the play-by-play of the Eurozone crisis. And he was also the first to warn about Japan's disastrous economic policies and how this would be the first domino that could fall to gravely affect the global economy. And as I said, we're very excited to have him join us today. I'm hoping that he is on the line right now. V, are you there with us?
I'm here, buddy. How are you?
Oh, man, we are blessed.
Sorry about the technical issues. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the Wi-Fi network in my whole entire building just went down. So.
I'm going to go ahead and blame that on the NSA. I think they knew without a doubt that we were going to be talking today, and they don't like that, I don't think. But, okay, so we went over your background just a little bit, but what else is there in your background that you feel like would be very important for people to know before we get into this conversation?
I'm into sacrificing chickens. I kid.
I hope. I
don't know if you've mentioned, but I was a contributor to a think tank in the United States for a number of years. I contributed a lot of strategic analysis that's been used by the think. Ah, my God, I'm getting tongue tied. That's what I'm saying. This is why I've been under the weather, folks. I apologize. The think tank. And then the think tank also went ahead and, you know, would disseminate that information to various agencies and the corporations to be used for, strategic work, analysis, asset assessments, things of that sort.
Okay.
I don't know if, you've also mentioned, I cut my teeth in a commodity broker, as a commodity broker for a major European firm.
Hmm.
Spent a number of years in strategic metals, rare earth minerals, influenced and as well as educated on how Africa works and the whole thing over there. The Middle East is another area of expertise with me. Then from there I went to a UK investment bank. From the investment bank, I was able to, you know, climb the ladders there, do a lot of analysis work. And then that's when I spotted a lot of things that I didn't agree with. And John, I'll tell you right now, I was shocked to find out the things I've learned, and you know, eventually they gave me the boot because of I was making a little too much noise here and rocking the boat.
Right.
So they got rid of me, and that's when I, you know, wandered the wilderness and said, God, what do I do next? And you know, things open up, and lo and behold, here's the gorilla economist, and that is, you know, something that has landed on my lap, and it's not really something that I went looking for.
I understand. But so needless to say, you are inundated with information that most of us would not ever have an opportunity to get. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes from not only my experience in Wall Street and working within the financial sector for a number of years, but it also comes from making key contacts with the intelligence services. And people don't realize that at a certain level, a lot of the investment banks, a lot of the corporations and governments and intelligence agencies, they all kind of interlink. They not only do they interlink, but they also share a talent pool together.
Okay, really?
So that's why you see, absolutely, that's why you see this revolving door going on. I mean, how else does a Hank Paulson, you know, come out of Goldman Sachs, goes into the government, works as a treasury secretary, then he goes on to private sector.
Right.
He also contributes to not only think tanks, but also is involved with certain intelligence, not operations, but, you know, he gives his analysis and intake on key bits of information that is used, by intelligence agencies, or he's called as a consultant to go consult on certain operations, because, you know, today's warfare, people don't have, you can't limit it to just spy versus spy, and you can't limit, the global, you know, playing field on just armies facing one another. No, no, no. The things that are happening today, folks, it is a great deal of subterfuge, a great deal of covert activity that occurs not just with military forces, but corporations and banks and governmental agencies. So you're seeing actions that are occurring in cyber warfare. You're seeing financial war. I mean, these are the things. So you need to have a talent pool of people who are experienced in every discipline in respect to this multifaceted threat filled world that we're living in. So that's one thing that people don't realize, that it's not just you know, the spooks in Langley or the Mossad or these guys that are always, you know, looking at military action, but it's it's a much more broad spectrum playing field. Yeah.
Well, and it seems like it would have to be, because, you know, a lot of us here at Red Pill Reports understand that we really don't have a government anymore. We have what is effectively a for-profit corporation masquerading as a government. And when you understand that, you know, A, the continuity of government has only to do with them, you know, being self-preserved, and that profit really is the name of the game, it lets me believe that this revolving door syndrome that you're talking about really does make up the foundation of what we could call the shadow economy, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's the shadow economy. Folks, people need to understand this. I'm going to make a bold statement. If you get it, this will kind of, like, you know, put things in perspective for a lot of people. The shadow government and the shadow economy is one and the same.
Yes, I completely agree with that. I do have one semi-stupid economic question before we get in. Granted, I know you and I spoke a little bit earlier, and I know for without a doubt that your economic expertise is far superior to mine, and I don't even want to pretend that I'm as smart as you are. But one of the things...
Are you going to ask me about the 401k?
No. I will come back to that, though. What I want to know is that in my limited understanding of economics, I thought for a long time, and granted I'm almost 40 years old, I thought for a long time there was a correlation between supply and demand. And looking at the metals market right now, while, again, although that the price of silver did come up just a little bit today, it seems like when I'm reading stories about the mint running out of the ability to actually give physical silver out, and the price is coming down, that makes my head hurt really bad. Could you explain to me what is going on, man?
The thing that people need to understand is this, and you hit the nail on the head, John. It's this. The rules of economics, the rules of fundamental of supply and demand apply to just about everything. They want you to hold that in your head, and they teach you that in college and stuff. But for some reason, those rules do not apply to gold and silver.
Okay.
And the reason for that is this, and anybody who's been following alternative news, anybody who's, you know, heard of me before or other pundits, you know, we've often said that, you know, gold and silver is manipulated.
Uh-huh.
And the truth of the matter is, folks, it is not only manipulated, it is criminally manipulated.
Right.
In fact, there's more fraud going on in the gold and silver market right now than there's what's going on in Forex.
Right. Wow. Now that's saying something. I mean, that's a big statement, ladies and gentlemen.
Huge. And there's more fraud in the gold market than what's even than the fraud that's going on in the LIBOR market. Okay, with LIBOR, the fraud with LIBOR.
Right.
So this is major because when you look at something like, let's say, the Chicago CME, okay, and that's supposed to be a commodities exchange. And a commodities exchange focus basically and traditionally has been a place where a producer of, let's say, silver and a consumer on an institutional or investment level will sit across from one another and they'll have this session, this little time between themselves, however brief it is. And that little discovery session, that little session they have between themselves is called price discovery.
Okay.
And that's how it's traditionally been done. The problem today is you have only 2% of actual activity in the Chicago CME has to do with price discovery. The 98% of the rest of the volume has to do with high-frequency trading computers that are trading in and out of futures contracts for gold and silver prices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, how does this correlate? Well, let's put it this way. If you are a central banker, like the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. and you happen to be in charge of a world reserve currency, like the dollar, the last thing you want to maintain any sort of monetary credibility is to have high gold and silver prices. You don't want that at all.
Right.
You want your currency to look as strong as possible. And folks, how the hell do you explain the global supplies of both gold and silver are shrinking? In fact, today when I get off the phone with JD over here, I'm heading out to my local coin dealer. I'm going to buy a couple of bags of rounds of silver.
Yeah.
It's a great time to buy because I know what the value is. Folks, when you're looking at silver and gold, you can't look at it all. Silver is $15. Gold is $11.40 an ounce. Oh, my God, it's terrible. No. The gorilla sees it this way. I see silver as anywhere between $500 to $800 an ounce.
Oh, my goodness. I see gold
anywhere between $7,000 to $10,000 an ounce. So am I going to buy? Yes.
So wait, that's the value that you ascribe to it in your mind right now? Like if you've got an ounce of silver in your pocket and someone says, hey, I'll give you $20 for that, you laugh at them in the face and say, not a chance.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Because if you were to take all the manipulations out from the futures contract, mm-hmm. if you were to take out all the subterfuge and fraud that's going on in both gold and silver, and then you adjust the price for inflation, that's where the price should be at. Mm-hmm. That's the range right there. You know, so, and then that's taken into account supply and demand.
Right.
Because as prices are crashing, guess what's going on? Well, you hear the news. The mint is running out. They've sold out. And all over the world, we're seeing massive amounts of gold being purchased, silver being purchased. They're buying it left and right. And you have a lot of feeble investors who are not in the know. They just think it's just another commodity. It's another widget. And they quickly give up their hold on the actual metal, and they just freak out and they get scared and they sell it,
mm-hmm.
and they don't buy it until it's $30 again. And that's what typically happens, JD. You have people who buy high and sell low.
I don't think that's fundamentally the way you want to do it, as far as everything I can tell. But
yeah.
All right, well, I want to get into this Forex thing, because I think this is an issue that is much larger than people anticipate, and is an issue that, unless you're really looking into some deep economic-type websites, nobody's even really talking about this. Could you walk us through what's going on with the Forex investigations right now and what the responses are from the banks internationally?
Well, the massive amounts of fraud that's going on in Forex it's been building. And it's getting so bad that, there's a lot of manipulation, there's a lot of price fixing, a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a lot of what we call, quote-unquote, gentlemen's agreements that are happening behind closed doors to set the price on certain currencies and at certain targets.
Mm-hmm.
And this is creating a lot of volatility and a lot of manipulation within Forex, the things that are not making sense. I mean, you look at the U.S. dollar index. Why the heck is the dollar as high as it is now? It shouldn't be.
Right.
You have a country where we're a nation where 50% of Americans are making less than $28,000 a year right now. You know, over 50% of Americans currently are in some level of poverty or some sort of a government handout. It's terrible. I mean, the numbers we've, absolutely blown away the Great Depression numbers. So there's no reason for the dollar to be this high. But the dollar is being used, and many other currencies being used as a weapon, manipulated to keep the Ponzi scheme of a U.S. dollar world reserve status going for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. Now, some of these individuals have been caught in this fixing scheme, and what happened is recently at Citigroup, what do? They shut down their Forex desk. They fired everybody, supposedly, but what really happened is they fired some low-level people, and the top-level guys, they've moved them laterally to other parts of the bank. So there's not enough being done in Forex. Forex is something that's definitely going to explode alongside every other paper instrument exchange out there,
right?
Including your stock market, including your bond market. Pretty much anything in paper right now, folks, is a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think the potential fallout from this is going to be, though?
It's going to be world-ending for a lot of the Western economies. In fact, for every Western economy that is so heavily over-leveraged on paper, they're going to suffer immensely. And when I say immensely, I just don't mean the governmental institutions of those particular nations. But what I also mean is for individuals. Your people are going to see their savings evaporate. They're going to see their purchasing power get absolutely vaporized. And they're going to enter a phenomenon that, you know, is called stagflation, where you have a contracting economy with zero job growth and hyperinflation at the same time. It's the worst possible scenario, and nobody is prepared for that. No government is prepared for that. No central bank is prepared for that. And folks, one thing about central banks, okay, if you get past the whole entire nomenclature of a central bank and you get past all the fancy words they use like quantitative easing and this, that, and the other, what a central bank's only function is to create bubbles and to pop bubbles. That's all they do. That's it. You know, and so the hyperinflation that's going to occur is something that the bubble makers, they won't be able to contain it. And when they can't contain it, JD, we're going to see an absolute evisceration of America's wealth, and it's going to happen rapidly in a matter of days.
What do you mean? Let's extrapolate on that. What do you mean? Okay, so rapidly being a couple of days. What do you think in terms of a timeline for when this domino, that one specific Forex domino, might decide to tip over?
You know, the funny thing is, you know, when I started on this journey, and a lot of the data started coming in, even data that I've received almost 2 years ago, we're looking for individual markets. So I was like, oh my God, the Japanese bond market, that's going to be the trigger.
Right.
I was like,
right.
This is major. And there were so many things happening in the Japanese bond market. And that, for folks that don't know, that's the second largest, bond market, in the world. And, you know, they're under a lot of stress. They're on the verge of collapse every night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I looked at that. I said, oh my God, that's a trigger. Then I looked at the derivatives market and I said, oh my God, that's a huge trigger.
Right.
Then I looked at the Eurozone. Oh my God, that's a trigger. And then I looked at the Middle East. Oh, that's a trigger. Then I looked at the petrodollar. Oh, that's a trigger. Then I looked at the Eurasian trade zone. Oh, that's a trigger. And then the hunt for individual triggers becomes holy crap. It's like you walk into a house and you realize it's not just one stick of dynamite that's in the building. The whole thing is laced with dynamite.
Right.
So it's like that's exactly, you know what it is, JD? It's like a building demolition. The whole building structurally is just filled with explosives. It's laced with dynamite in every key hinge joint, every key struss, every key cross member. Every single aspect of the building structure is laced with dynamite. So it's all set to blow at once.
So essentially what you're saying is keep your head on a swivel and be ready right now.
Bingo.
Okay. Well, I want to know then, we're talking about Forex obviously being a major trigger, but you brought up the derivative market also. And I think a lot of people are very confused just about the nature of derivatives in general. But I would love to know, because I know you know more than I do, what is the totality of the derivative market right now, and why is that such a monumental trigger in your mind?
Sure. You know, for people that don't know, what a derivative is basically a bet placed on top of a bet. In other words, if I were to, let's say I walked up to the Red Pill Report's radio desk and I said, hey, guess what, guys, this pen here sitting on JD's desk, this pen is worth $50. And then all of a sudden JD says, well, it's not $50, it's $150. And then somebody else says it's $300. Another one says $600. Now this pen, which is really, you probably got it from Staples for $2.99, right, is now worth $10 million.
Right.
And they're using this $10 million, and then some other guy says, hey, you know what? He goes to somebody, some other person says, hey, you know what? I got this pen. It's worth $10 million. I'll use this as collateral for this trade that I'll do with you. Oh, sure. I mean, this is the kind of insane lunacy that's happening here. So you have this pen all of a sudden that's completely over-leveraged, that people are actually using it as collateral for various trades. But the value is not there. That's what the derivative market is. It's an illusionary financial weapon of mass destruction. Because even though the pen is $2.99, it's been over-leveraged $10 million, and it's been attached, its notional value has been attached to so many other financial instruments like credit default swaps and IR swaps and all these other things, that when that one default happens on one trade, kablooey. You're talking about a massive explosion. So that's what it is. It's a bet placed on top of a bet that, on something that really doesn't exist.
Wow.
You know, so the notional value right now of the derivative market, JD, is anywhere between, you know, 1.3 to 1.5 quadrillion.
I'm sorry, did you say
quadrillion?
How many zeros is that, V?
That's 1,000 trillion, my friend. So, and you know,
goodness.
Folks, let me give the audience this idea, because, you know, the talking heads on the radio and talking heads on these lamestream news sites will tell you, oh, you know, we got $1 billion in stimulus passed today and a $1 trillion budget. And you know, you hear the term billion, trillion, million, but what the heck does it all mean, folks? Mm-hmm. And I like to break it down this way to give people an idea. And I say this, JD, I ask people, how much time is 1 million seconds?
Ooh, that's a good question. How much time is it?
1 million seconds is 12 days.
Okay.
Then I ask people, well, how much time is 1 billion seconds? And 1 billion seconds, I mean, take a guess, JD. Just, you know, if a million is 12 days.
It would be 1,000 times that. It would be, what, 120 days?
32 years.
Boy, I was way off. They told me there wasn't going to be any math involved with doing a radio. just so everybody out there is aware.
And a trillion seconds, JD, is over 300 years.
Wow.
So you can imagine 1.5 quadrillion. I mean, that's here. Like
we're in some deep trouble here.
Years.
We're in some deep trouble here, kids. You know, what always astounds me is when you hear news reports talking about fines, you know, to the banks where they'll say, oh, we're going to fine these guys $130 million. And it's just like, that's essentially the equivalent of a rounding error for the government these days, $130 million. That's like,
correct.
It's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So what do you think would be the trigger that would set off the derivative market? What would be the first default that could happen?
It's hard to tell. There's so much volatility right now within the derivative market. I think interest rate swaps are one to watch. The IR swaps, I think there's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of volatility there, and I think that's going to be the area that's going to fall.
Okay.
I think that could be the major one. If I were to pick one thing in the derivative market, it would be that.
Okay. Well, I want to get into the BRICS banks a little bit too, because that's been on the news quite a bit. You know, we had the election that just took place in Brazil, which looked like a good thing in terms of the BRICS banks, because they kept the leader, the president of the country there, who is a very big proponent of the BRICS banks. What can you tell us about the BRICS banks that we might not know right now?
Well, you know, first of all, when people hear BRICS banks, they're just thinking and they're limiting their thinking to Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking it's just those five countries. When you hear BRICS, folks, it's actually about 105 countries.
Wow.
Okay? That's about 105 countries who said, you know what? The heck with the dollar. We're not going to deal with it. We're going to trade in our own currencies and with a very with the reality of bringing gold into the forefront as a trade settlement, okay, as a trade settlement vehicle. So that's what BRICS is all about. The BRICS Bank is going to be not, and some people say it's going to be the counter to the World Bank and the IMF. No, because it's actually going to be the replacement. There's no counter here. Counter gives you the impression that it's East versus West. Counter gives you the impression that it's two diametrically opposed forces that are going to be battling it out for dollars and or financing or funds.
Right.
That's not the case here, JD. What we're seeing is the IMF is a broke, insolvent institution that hasn't been funded in over 2 years, and they are going the way of the dodo. And what I mean by that is this. The IMF, I mean, even the giraffe-necked lady who runs the IMF, which is Christine Lagarde, giraffe-necked Lagarde even has said that don't be surprised if the IMF relocates to Beijing, China. Because
wow.
China is right now monetarily in control of the IMF, and they're forcing, policies through the IMF without any sort of U.S. approval.
Really?
So that's being done. IMF, I believe, in the future will be dissolved and be integrated into the BRICS Bank. The World Bank, which is basically a front for U.S. operations, the World Bank, and again, it uses the predominantly U.S. financing to get its deals done here. They're going to go away with the dodo as well. They're going to cease to exist. So the BRICS Bank is going to be the preeminent future for nations that are looking for honest, straightforward funding in order to get loans. So that's what the whole BRICS Bank is about. Now, what China and Russia are doing is they're not only isolating the United States from a world stage by, basically stepping out of out of the way of the U.S. and allowing the U.S. to really make a fool of themselves globally.
Yes.
And exposing the United States as the source and vetting them as the source of all the fraud that's happening in every exchange market out there. They're also surrounding the United States. Okay. And what I mean by that is this. There are massive trade agreements being signed all up and down Central and South America that are with the Chinese and Russian interests. I mean, look at the new canal they're building, that the Chinese are building in Guatemala.
Right.
And the Chinese also happen to run the Panama Canal as well. Look at the deal that's being done with Cuba.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick 3-minute break. Our guest today is V. DeGrilla, economist. His website is roguemoney.net. I encourage everyone to go there and check it out. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about the shadow economy and things that are actually going on around the world. And we're going to ask him some tough questions when we get back about what he might actually know that he'd be willing to share with us. Appreciate you guys sticking with us. We'll be right back.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN, worldwide.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy 3 or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same-day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Introducing YouTube Plus, the new and improved version of YouTube. We're bringing a whole bunch of great new additions to YouTube.
Over the years, we've noticed that a large amount of copyrighted material is uploaded by our users, which is not okay with us. So we've revamped our content identification system to make it so if you even so much as steal a quote or use a line from a movie or TV show, your video will immediately be taken down.
And finally, in order to reduce our bandwidth costs and make videos even cheaper for us to host, we've made it so that videos will always play in the lowest possible quality, 240p. This way, everyone can enjoy fast video speeds and barely average video quality.
YouTube Plus. What are you gonna do about it?
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast for the 7th day of November. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys for being here. We are very thankful to be joined by V. the Gorilla Economist today as he's taking time away from his busy schedule to come and share some information with us that you will not get anyplace else. And we're very happy to be bringing him to you today. Before the break, V, we were talking about the BRICS Bank and some of the developments that are going on there. But I think the question that I've got really revolving around this BRICS Bank and kind of going back to some of the things you said earlier in the interview, I'm curious about whether or not this whole thing, this whole global move towards the BRICS Bank is part of a global agenda. It seems to me like, you know, moving towards the global government, moving towards a global bank, is obviously been part of the agenda for a long time. And I have a lot of trouble believing just taking, for example, the situation in the Ukraine with, Obama pitted against Putin. Well, it seems to me pretty clear that neither of these people run their own countries, if we understand right. That the countries are corporations. So obviously there has to be some sort of collusion going on, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. At the highest level, I have a very good buddy of mine who's a top intel officer. And you should actually interview him one day. His name is W. He goes by the moniker W. So it's always V and W. It's pretty funny. But W is somebody who's, helped take down the Soviet Union. You know, he worked on that whole entire ruble destabilization project as well as a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
Very highly connected individual. And one of the things that he'll tell you, and after meeting him and befriending him, I've also made acquaintances with a guy who's basically his doppelganger in the KGB. So it's,
wow. Okay.
So it's like Wolverine on one end and Omega Red on the other end. Okay. For anybody who's like a 90s comic buff.
Right.
So my KGB guy and W, who have yet to speak to one another, and I want to arrange that meeting for both of them. I think it will be a very interesting coffee conversation right there. They both said it this way, V, at one level, we realize that we're not really working against each other, we're working for each other.
Right.
We're all on the same team. Mm-hmm. And when people look at Putin, like, oh, Putin's throwing out the New World Order, he's going up against this, that, and the other. No. The most influential guy in Putin's life is a man by the name of Alexander Dugin. People have called him Putin's brain, Alexander Dugin is an occultist. He is a top-ranking Russian think tank luminary. This is a guy who is basically the brainchild, the formulator of the whole entire Eurasian trade zone, okay, that Putin and the Chinese president Xi Jinping is aggressively pursuing. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the Eurasian trade zone, which will be the largest trade zone on the planet, which is basically 60% of global GDP, 80% of global manufacturing, 60-some-odd percent of global trade, and it comprises over 15 time zones. It is the largest trade bloc on the planet.
Right.
And they're all going to be trading without the dollar, so the dollar's done. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But look at the flag that they are flying, okay? And if you look at the flag that's used for the Eurasian Trade Zone, people can Google this, look at the star. It's an eight. That's an occultic symbol that Duguid put there.
Really?
And, yep. And Duguid and his parents are, you know, who was a high-level KGB, both his mom and dad. Okay. His dad, has close ties with Aleister Crowley.
Wow.
Because that eight-pointed star happens to be Aleister Crowley's symbol.
Oh, unbelievable.
And who did Aleister Crowley do? Well, people, oh, he's the most wickedest man in the world. He was just a mage.
Right.
He was a sorcerer. He was a mage. You know, they allowed him to get to a level of prominence, but he's not the top dog. He's really a nobody on the rung of on the ladders of power here. Mm-hmm. He was one of the mages that, you know, would go into the City of London Corporation for various ceremonies. Okay, that they would hold there with the Lord Mayor. Okay, so that's who, you know, Duguid putting his little occultic stamp right there on that flag.
Wow.
So if anybody thinks this is just, oh, this is East versus West, no, it's not. It's us versus them.
Wow.
That's
okay.
How it's always been, folks.
Then I need to know, then I want to know about this, if we're all working together, you know, then obviously all of these triggers that we're seeing are part of the plan. And
yes.
The big trigger that I've been noticing a lot recently is the suppression of oil prices being below that $80 mark, which seems to me to obviously have a major effect on Russia and Venezuela. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the suppression of oil, wasn't that one of the tactics that was used to destroy the Soviet Union back in the 70s by making it just super cost ineffective for them to pull oil out of the ground? Are we seeing a repeat of that again now?
Yep, it's the same old tactic, except this time around Putin sees it from 10 miles away.
Right.
The Russians have the capacity where they can handle, you know, up to $30 to $40 a barrel oil. They can handle it. It'll hurt them a lot, but, you know, they'll still hold together. The Chinese have been helping the Russians in terms of the recent hits that the ruble has been taking. And the hits have been stabilized by the Chinese buying a large amount of Russian ruble bonds to help stabilize their currency. So the dragon is helping the bear. The dragon's going to make sure that the bear survives all the beatings that the West is doing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that people don't realize, you know, Russia's not a clawless or toothless bear. It's got a vaunted army. They're very well trained. And there's going to be a period in time where Putin says, you know what, we're done. And I think before any sort of a military strike, which is something that nobody really wants to do at this moment, except for a bunch of bellicose neocons and chicken hawks. And
yeah, but I still think that's a ploy, though, because at the end of the day, you know, what has value for these guys is infrastructure. You know,
they're not going to
come in. You know, the United States is not going to allow somebody else to come in and destroy all of China's infrastructure at this point, right? If we understand these guys are all working together.
Exactly. So what they're going to do, their ultimate, and why fire a shot? People are like, oh, there's Chinese troops and Russian troops. I've seen 15,000 Russian troops in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I make a call to one of my special ops guys out there and say, hey, you know what, is that really happening? And the guy starts laughing on the other end of the phone. And he said, V, if you got that many Ruskies hanging out here, we call it easy target practice. And here's the deal, folks. China is not stupid, and the Russians are not stupid. They're not idiotic. They're not following the insane war economy model that the British have concocted, the Americans are following, and the Israelis are following to a T.
Right.
They're not going to do that. So they know that the war of occupation is the worst, most expensive thing you can do, and it'll ruin your country. So what they're going to do is they're going to financially nuke us without even firing a shot. They've taken us over already.
Yeah, I know.
Without firing a shot.
Yeah.
So they're just going to let the natural the natural order of things run its course, so to speak, and allow the death and decay and implosion of the dollar, which is a mathematical inevitability, folks. It's not a question of, oh, is the economy imploding? It is imploding. You got 92 million on that are permanently out of the workforce, 101 million on welfare, 52 million on food stamps, a 34.6% unemployment rate. That's the real numbers, JD.
You said 36%?
Yep, 34.6.
Unbelievable.
34.6% unemployment rate. That's the real number. That's all the underemployed, that's all the unemployed, and those who have just given up looking for jobs. 34.6%.
Wow. You know, and the real bad news is that we've got another issue here in our great fair country that we haven't even mentioned yet. And I'm hesitant to mention it because I know we're going to scare the socks off a whole bunch of people. But let's go ahead and get into the topic of MERS and mortgage fraud and let us know what's going on in that field right now, if you would, sir.
Sure, absolutely. You know, in fact, the guy who discovered the problem of MERS happens to be the same guy who played an integral role in discovering the SNL scandal back in the savings and loan scandal back in the 80s, and that's Greg Morse.
Can we talk about, let's just define MERS for people in case they don't know.
MERS, folks, okay, it is an electronic system, okay, and what MERS simply means is the mortgage electronic registration system.
Okay.
And MERS, so basically what it is every mortgage you sign, okay, you sign the dotted line, you get a mortgage on a house, it goes onto this electronic database called MERS. And you're thinking to yourself, hey, you know what's wonderful? You know, I signed a mortgage, I own a home. You don't know nothing. Because what they do with as soon as you sign that title over to MERS, MERS within 30 days destroys the chain of trust for that title. And they use your mortgage as well as your neighbors, as well as many mortgages in your community, in your state, and in the country. They chop it all up and they sell it as part of mortgage-backed securities to, as you know, they're in partner with investment banks.
So they essentially just turned it into a derivative.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's sold all over the world.
Oh.
So in other words, you don't have your mortgage. In other words, there are people, JD, that are getting foreclosed on. They're like, wait a minute, what do you mean foreclosure? I pay my mortgage on time. Well, it turned out that they got their mortgage from XYZ Bank. XYZ Bank put it on MERS, and they sold that as collateral on another deal done with ABC Bank. Now, ABC blew the whole entire thing, and then there's another creditor out there saying, "Okay, now we want the collateral for the bet that you've lost," and the bet and the collateral happens to be your house.
Wow,
that's what's happening. The fraud is so rampant, and folks, you don't own nothing in this country. It's an illusion. Oh, I paid off my mortgage. Okay. Where's the title? Oh, I got this title here. Read it carefully. It's really not a title. They give you this almost like a promissory note. Mm-hmm. It's like a certificate. It's really worthless in a court of law.
As are most certificates.
Exactly. And the thing is, JD, they lost the title. 90-some-odd% of American mortgages, those titles are lost.
I'm sorry, did you say 90%? That was going to be my next question, how many affected. You said 90?
Greg Morse has told me that over 90% from his research, and this is a guy has spent over $1 million out of his own pocket fighting this thing.
Yes.
And
he's going to be a guest on the show here next week also, so if everybody wants to tune in, we're going to be talking to him about this exact issue.
Mm-hmm. He's found out, excuse me, I'm still fighting this cold here, and he's found out that it's over 90%, and this is a guy who's got over 15,000 pages of documented evidence. So it's a massive, massive fraud that's running with MERS, folks, and this is part of a scheme. There's multiple schemes. I mean, this is worse, JD, than you walking into a casino where the dice are loaded, the car. I mean, you name it, man. This is a casino. You know, Max Kaiser said it best. He said it's a casino gulag. And I have to agree with him. It really is.
Yeah. Well, and it's what's so tragic about this is that it affects so many people who are, you know, as of right now in the moment, aren't even aware that they're being affected by it.
Correct.
You know? So what was it that Greg actually discovered as he was looking into it? Let's get into some of the nitty-gritty stuff that we can disclose.
Sure. One of the things that Greg found is, first and foremost, with his own mortgage, he wondered where the hell the title was. And when the bank wasn't able to cough it up, that's when, you know, him being the fighter jock that he was, started his investigations. And the guy's former military intel, so that got it, you know, that piqued his curiosity, and the guy was a bloodhound and started following a trail of fraud. And one thing led to the other, and next you know, what Greg found out, which he'll disclose to you, is that there are multiple entities out there that are fictitious, fraudulent, made-up entities that are shell companies that they're using to start selling and moving around and leveraging a lot of these mortgages that are out there. And that's what he's discovered, the absolute rampant fraud, the fact that you don't own anything, the fact that all the mortgages, all the stocks, all the bonds are owned by one corporation called the DTCC, the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, right here in 55 Water Street in Manhattan. They're the ones who own everything, all the stocks, all the bonds.
What? Now, how did that come to be?
Well, it's basically by regulatory law. They made it where as soon as you sign your mortgage or as soon as a company creates an IPO, they're contractually obligated to hand all that over to the DTCC. Because, look, you sign that mortgage, it goes on MERS, and then it's sold as a derivative. Okay, and as soon as it's sold on an exchange, who really owns it? The DTCC. Mm-hmm. Not the New York Stock Exchange, not anybody else, but the DTCC. Now, this is all kept in a trust fund, okay, in a trust called, and the nominee of the trust is a company called Seed, as a C-E-D-E, as if you're giving something up, Seed and Company. They're the ones who are the nominees of the trust. And it turns out, through Greg's research, as well as my own, and I confirmed it with him, and I worked closely with him on that, the City of London Corporation owns Seed and Company.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, the words conflict of interest come to mind, do they not?
Big time. And guess how much mortgages that the DTCC churns per month.
Oh, I wouldn't even hasten a guess, man.
Over a quadrillion.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, so this really is, the ticking time bomb that nobody's talking about then.
Oh man, it's a mess, man.
Well, and it affects everybody. I can't even imagine. Now you're going to be doing a show, next Friday. Is that right? And disclosing some more of this information on your show. Is that right?
Yeah, next Friday, the 14th, it's going to be bombshell. I mean, you know, tell your friends, your neighbors, your grandparents, your grandkids, you know, listen to that show. We got some serious dynamite bombshell information that's going to be dropped, and some very key individuals will be appearing as guests on that show, and it's probably the most important show I'll probably ever do. I think this is it. This is the pinnacle. And if people understand what that's all about, you'll understand the whole entire thing. We're basically cracking the thing wide open. We're naming, we're detailing everything.
Oh, wow. And that's so that, they can find that show at roguemoney.net, is that correct?
Oh, the archive will be at roguemoney.net, but you can listen to it live on freedomslips.com,
okay.
Studio A.
Okay.
And, I'm on it from 8 to 10 every Friday. It's all this cold medication I'm on, JD.
I understand, man. I know you're in New York and dealing with that Entero 68 thing. I hope you're.
Yeah, I think I have a combination of Entero 68 and Ebola.
Well, I hope one of them, you know, beats the other one out of you, man.
Yeah, that and bad Mexican food, JD.
Oh, that'll do it, man. That will definitely, definitely do it. I guess. Well, my final question then, unless you're able to give us a few of the hints about what's going on Friday. Which I won't hold you to because I know
sure.
I know you've got a lot of really good information and they're probably still vetting a lot of it. What do you think is going to be or could be the worst case scenario going forward from here?
Economically speaking?
Yes, in our country, specifically just about the United States.
I think there is 1,000% guarantee that we're heading for a dollar collapse. The dollar will be done economically. When the collapse happens, the biggest thing I'm concerned about, JD, is going to be the loss of life.
Right.
People do not consider the fact that, and I have in my library a book that details over 900 years of human economic activity. And in every economic activity I've studied where the economy collapses and countries recover, there's always loss of life, disruption of services, things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
But the country rallies because they share a common culture. They share a common theme, you know, common culture, common language,
mm-hmm.
Common origins, you know, things of that sort, which are, believe it or not, are still important. Okay. The problem we have in this country is we're so balkanized. The liberals have done a wonderful job of separating everybody through what's called diversification. Okay.
Right.
So that's why you go to New York, you got, you know, Little Italy and Chinatown, and you got the Albanians on one end, the Koreans on the other end, you got the blacks on one end, the Hispanics on the other end, you got the Indians on another. Everybody's separate. And nobody understands what the common thread is anymore, JD. Nobody understands that that we are Americans because we were founded on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and on Judeo-Christian principles.
Right.
That's the thing that holds us together. That's what makes us Americana, man. Mm-hmm. And because we've lost that and we've replaced it by the almighty dollar, what happens when the very thing, which is the freaking dollar that holds all this thing together, you know, that allows every moron to go out there and buy a new iPhone or go shopping for something that they don't need,
right?
What happens when that thing is gone? Well, when we sat down with a lot of top firms and top individuals who study this kind of stuff, we found out that in the first 60 to 90 days of a collapse in the United States, it's going to be guaranteed 20 to 25 million dead.
Oh, unbelievable.
And that's from starvation, dehydration, riots, violence, running out of medication, mm-hmm. Just the tumult. And that's how quickly people die, because people don't even have food for 2 days stored up
right.
in their house.
Neither does the grocery store only has food for three. I mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so then, given all of that, mm-hmm. do you have or do you recommend an exit strategy? I mean, should we really honestly all be thinking maybe this whole United States experiment wasn't all it was cracked up to be, and maybe we should find something someplace safer to be?
You know, I loved when they were first getting together and they're formulating what type of government they wanted right after the Founding Fathers wrote the Declaration of Independence, and they were all meeting in that schoolhouse or that church, I don't remember what it was. And after much deliberation, Benjamin Franklin stepped out of the doorway, and this young lady approached him and said, what type of a government have you given us? And then Franklin looked her dead in the eye and said, Madam, it's a republic, if you can keep it.
If you can keep it.
And the experiment that is America is, I don't think it's over yet. I think and this is why it's important that people prepare. Why do guys like me, guys like my buddy W, you know, we always tell people to prepare. Not because, oh my God, hide in your basement and eat cat food and, you know, hope for the best and
right.
hopefully SWAT teams don't come through your door. We always tell people to prepare so you can stay viable on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. So you can be there to pick up the pieces and rebuild. It's like the three dreams of George Washington, right? He had a vision where he saw three scenarios. The first one was a major war, which is, of course, a Revolutionary War. The second one was a war where brother was against brother, which is the Civil War. And he said that I saw a third battle or a third event where every large city in America was on fire.
Wow.
And after it was done, those that were in the country were able to come out and rebuild the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's the dream of Washington. So those of us who are able to stay viable, we could win this thing on the other side. You see, the powers that be understand the collapse. They know it's going to happen. They're ushering it because they want to control the other side.
Right.
But if we stay viable, we could stop them from winning on the other side of this thing.
Okay.
That's why you do it.
Well, okay. So then what then are your recommendations for individual viability? Sure. What are the things that we all need to be doing right now, given all these circumstances?
Get the heck out of large cities, man. If you're in a large city, get out into a much more rural area, far and away from major metro areas. That's number one. Number two, find like-minded people. Find people. They might not know every single, you know, conspiracy theory or every single, you know, cloak and dagger event that's going on globally like you do, but if they love the Constitution, if they love the Bill of Rights, if they love being American and they love freedom, you find those people. I don't care if they're, you know, Christians, Jews, atheists. Heck, I don't even care if they're Islamic. If they love America, they love the Constitution, they love the Bill of Rights, they love freedom, then you congregate around people that are of a like mind, because community is going to be important. Have for yourself 60 to 90 days worth of food, maybe a little bit more, but that's all you would need, okay? You don't need to get like 20 years worth of food and 10 years worth of water. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, and there's potential that you're going to have to move too, so you need to be smart enough to, you know, have enough to get into your car and be able to get someplace else if the event arises that you have to.
Bingo. And then once you're in that safe location, you know, you have community, have a way to protect yourself. develop skills. So when this whole thing blows through, that we'll be able to come out on the other side and remain viable so we can help rebuild. Mm-hmm. For those with means and families and you can't, and you have the option to leave, I tell people get the heck out of the country. You know, we got projects going on in southern Chile, and in Panama that allow you to go out there, allow this whole thing to blow through. And then when this, after the whole event is over, you can come back and help pick up the pieces.
Right.
You know, that's what I plan on doing and a couple other people as well. But that's what you gotta do. You gotta remain viable. And folks, the reason why I always, so I don't sell it personally. I use, you know, I have people that I recommend too, but, it's the only exploit as the average Joe and Jane on the street. It's the only exploit you have in the system is gold and silver. So today, with the price of silver being $15 and change, go out and buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, how much do you think everybody should have? I mean, if you had a number to just throw out, you know, what kind, or maybe like a percentage of your holdings right now, what percentage of your holdings right now should be in precious metals?
I'm 90% in precious metals.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 90% in. I got a couple of foreign investments that are outside of the U.S. system that I've had for years, and I keep that around, but I'm 90% in metals. Absolutely.
What about Bitcoin, if I can ask, just while we're on the
Bitcoin
subject?
Bitcoin is, you know, a lot of people are like, Bitcoin, it's conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. No, Bitcoin's cool, man. I like Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. If you want to invest in Bitcoin, go ahead and invest in Bitcoin, but understand that there are risks involved in investments like that.
Right.
As a vehicle and a tool for exchange that allows you to exchange goods and services outside of governmental interference, outside of third-party counter-risk from a bank, Bitcoin is wonderful.
Yeah, I personally agree with that, and I think that Bitcoin is going to take, you know, on a major role in any kind of rebuilding that might happen after the fact. I've been into Bitcoin for a long time, and have just kind of been watching it recently go up and down. I do think we're probably at a position of parity now where the value of Bitcoin, I think, is going to stay pretty steady until we see some pretty significant moves in the mining fields, you know, the ability to actually produce it for much less expensive than they're able to do now. But that pretty much wraps up the show today. Again, I want to encourage everyone to go to roguemoney.net so you can find out more about V, the Gorilla Economist. And V, give that website for your show that's going to be taking place again on Friday and the schedule for that show, if you would, sir.
Sure, it's Freedom Slips. That's Freedom and then Slips, S-L-I-P-S, freedomslips.com, Studio A, Friday nights from 8 to 10.
I will be there myself, and I hope everyone out there listening learned a lot today and will be there as well. V, thank you so much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports broadcast today.
JD, it's a pleasure. We hope to do it again.
Oh, I hope we have you back soon. Okay, everybody, that was it for the broadcast today. On Monday, we're going to have some more economic news as Joseph Meyer will be joining us. He's a good friend of mine. Stick with us over the weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Have a wonderful day.
Now I'm covered.
Now, for the first time, you can be covered. If you've been waiting to be covered in mandates, regulations, and new fees, the time is finally here. So make some coffee.
I'm covered.
Approach life with reckless abandon. Kick your feet up.
I'm covered.
Because you're going to be in the waiting room for quite a while. HealthCare.gov is not responsible for fulfilling any of the expectations, mandates, legal requirements, hopes, or dreams of any users. Results may vary. Consult your Obamacare-approved doctor or pharmacist to find out if Obamacare is right for you. Current waiting lists to have your doctor chosen for you are unavailable and will remain so for the foreseeable future. Obamacare may cause wait times, a decline in healthcare quality, money loss, political activism, anger, despair, hopelessness, frustration, European envy, dependence, and nausea. If you discover that your premiums have gone up as a result of Obamacare, please note that the program is working as intended and refrain from complaining. Call your doctor if you experience anxiety for longer than 4 hours. If you wish to opt out of Obamacare for any reason, please start a multi-million-dollar business, join a union, or run for Congress.